Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, and anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
The drum. Tuned in, who's ever listening, and no talent, you know.
Some places it's already, according to people, 2023. And some people are still waiting, you know. But us, most of us, our New Year starts in summer after sundown. So this kind of New Year's is kind of a, I don't know, it doesn't affect us like I see it affects everybody else. It affects a lot of people, a lot. It's kind of, I've been to other countries during New Year's, you know, in every country, you know. They have big celebrations, all kinds of crazy stuff, you know. Someplace sounds like a big war zone, be blowing stuff off, you know. One time they took me, I was in Berlin for New Year's, I forget what year. Maybe 1999, 2000 or something like that, I forget. But, man, I didn't even want to be out there. I wanted to go sit in some room someplace. I didn't like all that stuff. Anyway, to each his own, right? And for those of you that are here tonight, I'm kind of proud of you that you choose a peaceful way to do with life. I mean, all it is, according to the Washichu, is we're going from one year to the next. It ain't nothing to blow up bombs and run around and get drunk and kill each other and all that stuff over. Getting drunk, I don't see no excuse. That's a big excuse to get drunk or whatever, you know. I mean, you want to get drunk, you can do it any day of the year. You want to go party and dance, you can do it any day of the year. Anyway, I see some of you are going to do it however, and those of you that are here tonight, and those that are tuned in, listening from around the world, and I'll soon find out who's tuned in and who's, so from that there, you know, pretty proud that not everybody's a loose cannon out there. And we'll be checking it out and see how it's going. And some of you guys like Wayne, I guess probably in an hour you'll be having your New Year's. Just don't go crazy on me, on us. And Tanashi, he'll be having New Year's in a couple hours, but he's like me, he'll have New Year's in the summertime, you know. This New Year's for him, I guess he'll just go keep it tight someplace. But, you know, every year is a violent year, a real violent year for people in this country, you know, and this is no different. It gets more violent and violent as time goes by. And our people sitting in, some of them participate in this violence. And some of us don't like the violence. And some of us keep as far away as we can from the violence. We don't need all this. Anyway, Tanashi, I better let you take over because I hear you breathing. I hear you cutting loose over there. That you're squirming.
There you go. That's the beauty of it. Hey, man, it's cold over here, so rain in the cold. Yeah.
A
lot of rain.
Yeah, we had a good day today, but not, then started weather getting bad now. We're going to have about 3 days of, but it ain't going to be like it was the last 2 weeks. Hope, anyway.
You know, like I was saying,
it's just some snow and stuff like that. We're going to just get
It's just the beginning, too. That's a thing, man. You know, just started. Got a couple more months.
Talking about tonight, tomorrow, and the next day, I'm glad that it's not going to be below zero.
Yeah.
So anyway, I better let you take over because you're ready to roll, I can tell.
Oh, I'm ready. All right. Well, we're going to get started by saying a prayer, then we'll get into it. Tomo katre chaki yuk don khot khot kasla. Aoyen kapie, alila. Ukhna ai bach. Skopu kolawayat koni shechun glenet khot kasla hek takt. Ushu ya vaktet khot kasla. Echi ekstegun chashon ushi kapot khot kasla. La koto yak tela kidela. Ushi kapchen ket khot kasla. We chose on it a unitile apu. O kapie yohila khot kasla. Metake oba niktelot khukashlan uzani piktelo ayoy valokh dextatuk ushin kilapo ha metake as
you know Toshi, pretty soon depending where you're at, like in New York, in about an hour they're going to be over there going crazy, you know. And then in a couple hours, when we end the show, our people will be going crazy. Then a couple hours after that, your people will be going crazy. Over the change in the year. And then our people, we have New Year in the summertime.
right after we can get through with our summertime. It doesn't matter what month, what day it is, that's New Year's for us. You know, it's never set in stone.
Instead of getting drunk, it's jumping in Cascade Falls or the river.
Glad to get that year done. Get those commitments out of the way. You know, that's what it's about for us. It's a way of life. It's not a religion. Like he was talking about those guys getting killed up there, those white boys, white girls, you know. Me, myself, like me and you mentioned it. You know, they would have started shooting at us. They wouldn't have never come knocked and peacefully, you know, tell us keep it down. They don't approach us like that, the Washington cops. They come guns blazing, you know. That's why we was talking about this boy, this tiger. You know, that's what they were doing to them boys. And he finally got tired of it. He got tired of being picked on. Every Lakota or these Indian, anything close to the Indian reservation, that's how they're treated. You know, they treat the Indian less than. Even these Hassapas, these black people do that to Native Americans. These Orientals. They treat Native Americans like they're pieces of shit. And I see it all the time. And you know, they're all invasive species. You know, I always think of these Hassapas trying to get equal rights. They used them to kill Native Americans, made a big old army out of them and pushed them in the front of, when the Washichus couldn't do it, they pushed these Hassapas in front of them. And these Hassapas complied. And now they're begging for equal rights. Shit. You know, they're never going to be equal rights people. Never. They brought them in on ships. They all came in on ships. You know, and that's the problem. These guys that were partying, the cops had the opportunity to stop it. The owners weren't there. How come they didn't tell them get out? They would have, like I said, they would have shot at us, did everything. They drug us out there, beat the shit out of us, bloodied us up. Threw us in jail, ordered us out of there. But these were white boys. These were white kids. Oh, they're just,
white.
You know.
why they're European invasive species.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. Well, they're white.
They don't. They're pink to me. The point is, regardless of what color you see when you look at them, they don't belong here.
Yep.
They're invasive species. They come from Europe, and that's how they got to be acknowledged. You know, they acknowledge blacks as Afro-Americans. They acknowledge everybody else, but nobody acknowledges them. See, we call them, you said you call them white, but they need to be acknowledged who they are and where they're from. And they're not from this country. But the thing is, you know, talking about that case since you brought it up, because I've been paying attention to that for a while. And I always looked at it this way, that I think some big wig did it. They took a long time finding out who did it. And
yeah.
Because they killed poor Fancy. Now, let's don't go into this part. the thing about it is we have to keep in mind what kind of people these were. You know, they were going to college. Their people are all proud of them. Now that they're dead, oh, they were such nice, innocent people. But when you watch their life unfold with all these videos they brought up trying to find out who killed them, up to even the night they died, they were hanging out 1:30, going to food stands, coming from bars, bar hopping. That's what kind of nice kids these were. Now, I feel bad for anybody that gets murdered and gets wiped out and gets slaughtered like the way they did. But they were inviting this. You know, here's three blonde, wiggly European girls, you know, running around town. And one of them had a boyfriend, you know, and he was one of the victims too. The thing about them, they were inviting this, but they're white. They're white, like Rimber says, European, invasive species. That's what they were. So that's why they could do all this stuff. Now, if an Indian was running around bar hopping, you know, like they were, they'd be, you know, I think they'd be in jail before the night's over. And then what Rimber was talking about is they threw a big party in the house that they got murdered in. There was a big party in there, and they call the cops from all the noise. The cops show up there, and none of the people that rent the house are there. Just a bunch of other people, a bunch of other invasive species, a bunch of them. And they're partying in a house, and the owners ain't even there. The owners are at some other party. And what Bimber's talking about, you know, and I brought this up before. If those were Indians or Mexicans or blacks that were at that house with no owner there and cops showed up, they're drinking and partying underage, them cops would have went busting in there with handcuffs and everything else. They would have been banging heads and might even shot people and fabricated charges saying, oh, he tried to assault us. You know, it wouldn't have been a nice thing what the cops would have did if they weren't Washichu that were in there, invasive species. But because of their white privilege, somebody gave the cop the phone and the woman says, yeah, I'll be back over there. Yeah, it's all right, blah, blah, blah. I understand. So the cops just let it go and brushed it under the table. White privilege. And just let everything go like it was, party and everything. But that white privilege backfired on them severely because it made them keep partying all the way till the night. that they were, that somebody went in there, another supposedly white boy, college student, PhD graduate, studier of law and all this, went and chopped them up. You see, if those cops would have locked them up like they would have did Indians, then those white people would have been bitching about, they violated our rights. They would have cried all, everything there, but they'd still be alive. They'd still be alive if them cops would have went in there and did what they did to an Indian, went in there, busted them up and stopped the party and all that. That's what they do. Ain't that what they do when somebody's partying? When Indians are partying, ain't that what they do? They go in there and stop it, right? They go in there, hey, blah, blah, blah. Because I've been to places where the cops showed up, and I got the hell out of there as quick as I can. Even in Pine Ridge, one time the cops showed up. We were just rehearsing the band inside of a tire shop, and the cops went in there busting heads. Shit, I went out, got in my van, and drove off, and here there was like 10 other Indians hiding in my van. Just sneaking out of there, you know? No, but that's what happens when Indians are partying. They don't come over and say, who owns this place? You know, we're rehearsing at this place. And the owner of the place was Jimmy John and them. They were all there. You know, cops didn't care. You guys are making noise, blah, blah, blah. And started arresting people, busting people. And that's what they do. If these were Hasapas or Spiolas, because that's what mostly lives over there, they would have did the same thing, started dragging people out of the house. Instead, some blonde, you have to see the video, some young Washichuan answers the door with Daisy Dukes on, and she says, oh, I'll go get somebody, and she takes off and never comes back. Shuts the door on the cops. Pretty soon after, the cops keep knocking, some young Washichuan turn, oh, we don't know who the owner is. We're just here. We're not trespassing, though. Rah, 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 you know. And the cops are, you know, they're nice to these. But, you know, they let them all go. Long story short, they let them go. That was white privilege. Good for them. But by them doing that, you know, that killer probably was in the house that night with all these guys. You know, when they did that, a matter of fact, Tanshi, don't you think the owner of that house would have just kicked them out if they kept partying in that house? Well, you rent the house and you're partying.
Yeah. See, if like I say, if me and you or if an Indian did that at a house that we weren't renting, somebody else was renting, but it was an Indian, they would have evicted all of us on the spot. Like I say, they would have been banging heads and dragging people
but
out.
But that's not point. My point is the person who rented that house would have got kicked out of there. They wouldn't let them rent it no more.
All of us, you know? Everybody there. You know, even if they weren't there, the people.
But to us, you're missing the point. The point is, whoever rented that house would have got thrown out. They wouldn't let them rent it no more. That's what my point is. Yeah, of course, that night they would all got thrown out. But there would have been worse repercussions. You know, if that was Indians or Spiolas, Hasapas, you know. They would have got kicked out of renting that house for partying there too much. You know,
the cops, they were called there quite a few times for the same for the same reason, but nobody paid attention to it. See, and these cops were too Washichu to do anything against these Washichus, and I guess they were Europeans or whatever they were, invasive species, as you call it. And you know, that white privilege, you know, those cops should get charged too. That's what I look at. They would have did that to us. Look at Look what happened in Peltier's case. All over a pair of boots, they started shooting at those Indians.
And they weren't invited. They were cops. Nobody was complaining. They showed up on their own, those feds.
Yep. You know, all
they
over
showed up
a pair
on their
boots.
Own. Yeah.
All over a pair of boots that the guy wasn't even around there. And this the crime that happened in Interior, which is, 100 miles away? You know, but yet they brought it in. And these two Washichus going their guns blazing. See, that's the difference between a Washichu and Indians. See, big difference. And
you
and
see,
that's what
they would have locked those kids up, ran them out, or played hardball like they would have did with us, locked them up. They would have never partied there. They would have thrown them kids out of that house, and they wouldn't have got murdered there.
Yep.
You see? But that white privilege ruined it for them.
Yep.
Because that kind of environment, drugs, rock and roll, sex, drinking, partying, it brings nothing but evil and wickedness. And that's their home. They got murdered while they were sleeping. You know? I mean, how do you sleep in a house after you done let in the devil? After you drink and party and every wicked thing you think going on, and then you're going to sleep there like that's your sanctuary? It ain't a sanctuary no more. When you allow drugs, alcohol, and that kind of stuff in your home, you're giving away your sanctuary. You're giving it away. I don't allow that around my house. I never did. You know, anybody that does that, they're opening the door to problems and to violence. Because fights start after people. Everybody knows what drunks do, you know. And druggies and now meth heads and everything else that goes on. You know, those cops should have went in there and played hardball with those white kids like they would have did to anybody else. And those kids would have never went back there and partied. They should have thrown them out of that house, the ones who were renting it. You know? I mean, but that's what the American Washichu European society does. They think because they're going to college, they got a right to party and do stupid stuff. You should hear some of the stupid stuff they do, you know. I forget the names they call, but they call them one day somebody in their sorority house or something initiating them into their clubs or stuff. They even killed people initiating them in there. Man, those Washichu kids are crazy, man. They think because they're getting educated and the society condones that, the principals, the professors, the college allows them to do that. A lot of wicked stuff goes on, rapes and everything else.
Yeah.
But that's that white privilege. They ain't going to let no Indian do that. You know? But they sure let them do that. And when they were there partying in that house, those cops let it go. And then, you know, these poor three white girls and the young white boy were sleeping. Oh, so whatever. They must have been sleeping because how could somebody go in there and they were probably passed out on some serious drugs and stuff. Because how could somebody go in there and just cut them up? Maybe somebody went in there and walked around with them dropping stuff in their drinks, making sure they were passed out so you could go chop them up like meat, you know? And that's what they did. They asked for it. They invited it. They got it. And society talks about how innocent they were. Oh, I paid for my daughter to go to college. And look at how I'm paying for a funeral. Yeah, you paid for plus he probably paid for that party house, too. You know, how did she afford a party house? How did they afford a party house? You know, But that's what they did. And the cops, when they went in there and they were partying that night, this happened a couple weeks before, of course. But in other words, they had ample time to clear out that problem and save them young kids from getting chopped up like me. If they would have busted them, locked them up, sewed them out of there, set them straight to where they're back on the right track of getting education like they went there for, they wouldn't have got chopped up like meat. But that's what happened. That's why I said that was white privilege that backfired on them. Yeah, hazing. That's what they call it, hazing, initiation, when these college kids introduce or initiate somebody into their dorm or whatever. You know, if you go into their dorm or their little educational college society, they haze you, and some of them get killed. They kill them. They say they didn't mean to or they didn't know it, but they do. They get pretty violent and brutal, you know, and raping and everything else. But society condones college kids to party and drink and have this privilege. And
you know, that goes back to that guy that raped that girl by the dumpster there. And what did the judge say? Oh, I don't want to ruin your future, because he was Washichu.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the shit that these Washichus do, see. And they expect us to live under their rule, their law, see. And that's what I always say, we're supposed to be a independent nation. You know, why ain't we making our own deals? Why ain't we dealing with other countries ourselves? You know, but all the promises that they made to us, not one was kept. Isn't that a breach of contract, see? But our leaders are so full of shit nowadays that they suck eggs, see? And like I say, look at what that Washichu boy did to that girl. And they knew he did it, see? But yet the judge, oh, I don't want to ruin you. It puts him on probation for like 2 years, and after that, expunges his record. You know, come on, man.
Yeah,
you know,
same way with them football players.
Yeah.
Remember, the football players raped the hell out of some young girl and made her quit school and everything else. And in one case, the girl even committed suicide, you know.
Yeah.
But they let them get away with this stuff, you know. And here's what I was going to say. The difference in logic. The difference in logic. Our logic, their logic, their logic, their logic. The logic. If you read, look at that post I put where that video is, and read the comments below it, and listen to the logic of the commenters. Most of them are probably young kids anyway, got lack of brain development, don't have no logic anyway. But their logic is for being mean to them, saying, and still attacking the killer, you know? Yeah. But they avoid the logic of inviting the devil into your house. They all ignore that. The whole society, that society of Washichu, they ignore that logic, because in their brain, they should have the right to party. They should have the right to drink and run around hachola in their house in front of everybody, and sex, drugs, and rock and roll. In their brain, they think they have the right to do that. But you know what? There is no right there, because the law only protects you from them, from the law. But it's like a lion chasing a zebra or something in the jungle. There's no law, no police to protect that poor zebra or that antelope. There's no law. But the Washichu thinks they have a law that protects them from that. There's no law to protect you from the wickedness, from the devil when you invite them in. And that's the difference in the logic, and they should understand that. They should wake up to it. There is no law to defend them. So when they had that motel, that apartment at 8 or 9 o'clock, they should lock the door in study time, you know? And when someone comes over to visit, yeah, give them coffee, sandwich, or whatever. But no drinking, no partying in your own home. They got bars to do that. You want to go to a bar, go bar hopping. They were doing that too till 1 in the morning, these young kids. They were just asking for it. There's videos of them. They brought up videos of them, you know, hanging out at food stands 1 in the morning, you know, drunk, high on pot, so they're eating and all this, you know. And keep in mind, the other, your lines are open, you know. So, but just don't, be careful. When your lines are open, don't overdo it with all the excess noise, because we pick up everything, and it's you know, when you make a lot of noise, the other people with the lines open, they hear that, and that isn't good for their ears. So your lines are open, Wayne, Jennifer, Philip, Layla, you know. You know, sometimes the conversation, we get stuck on conversations, and I know there's a lot of other news and things going on in this world. Like, you know, we just had the anniversary of Wounded Knee Massacre. And when you talk about, see, there you go, yep. When you talk about these things that happened, 1890 and stuff like that, what does the American say? Oh, that happened a long time ago. Why blame us for that? What about May Lai Massacre? When did that happen? That was more recent. What about the other massacres they did in Iraq and Afghanistan? Those more recent. So in other words, they got no excuse. They can't come up and say, oh, that happened 100 years ago, so why blame us? They're still doing it, damn it, you know? And that's how they live. They live in violence, 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 violence. And that's why this murder happens, because they're violent people. They live in violence. They live in drugs, and they blame everybody else. You look at their comments on these, and they blame Mexicans and blacks. Well, you know, the drug problem is the white man brought the drug problem and alcohol problem over here. You know, he brought the Viagra. You know, he's the reason why they kill elephants and rhinoceros for their horns, because they want to have sex drive. So the Chinese know this. Yes, I heard that. So the Chinese know this. So they go out and take advantage of it and do a little ceremony and say, oh, this is going to help you get your jollies better. So the white man pays for this stuff. So the white man pays for all the elephant tusks and ivory and all that and everything around the world. It's always comes back to their society, because you know what, Lakota, we don't care about Viagra. Do we need, did, you know, never even knew about that. What's that noise going on be in the background? Okay, I'll have to shut some noises off here. But you know, thing is how does all this benefit mankind? How does alcohol sales benefit mankind? Drugs. They're the ones brought drugs over. Heroin. Lakota people never used Viagra, never used elephant tusks, you know? How? We just get it on normally, you know? Hate to be boasting. I was going to say broken, broasting.
We've always had that. You know, when you look at things.
Hate to be broasting, but, you know.
You know, when you look at it, look what's going on now, that electric cars bullshit that's going on. A lot of people don't know. It takes 5 million tons of whatever the hell it is to make one of those batteries. How much destruction are they doing just to get that one battery?
They're mining lithium in Nevada on Indian reservations. They're getting lithium out to make those batteries. Yep. Now, what happens when they run out of lithium?
Yep. And where are they going to dispose of those batteries? Just like nuclear waste, that poor little tribe in the Goshoot tribe in Utah, they brought all the nuclear waste, and stored it on that reservation, telling them that it was safe. They'll take care of it, you know. And I mean, you know, they conned those Indians, cheap as hell too, and they're still hauling shit in there to this day. You know, it's like, you know, the destruction that they create, you know, and these Indians, these poor Indians along the border there, they fell for it because they told them how safe it was and how they were going to take care of it and all this other bullshit, you know.
To the Navajo Nation too, you know.
Yep.
Navajo Nation lets them go in and take coal and everything from them, no problem. You know, and they're suffering from they don't have no water. They suffer from highest being sick and everything else. AIDS, they have the highest AIDS epidemic, COVID and everything, Navajo Nation. And as for selling all their coal and to the government, they should have free, the best doctors over there helping them out. But they should have water in every location over there, but they don't, you know.
Look at what they do to all those tribes in Montana there, all that coal that they mine in Montana for these power plants. They give these Indians whatever it is. The Crow tribe only gets what, something like $300 every quarter. They, you know, every, what, 3 months, 6 months, they get a $300 check, you know. And here they are making bank. And that's how they treat the Native Americans. The Crow tribe came to the Sioux tribe and wanted to go under our treaties because they were getting mistreated. But the Oglala Sioux tribe said, no, you made your bed, you lay in it, see.
Go into the science here, the science of that coal, okay? Because, let's go into the science of it. I was at a hydrogen plant in Gillette, and they make you watch a video before you go in there for safety. I watched a video. You know, they use like 2 million tons of coal a year or more to run that one hydrogen plant. 2 million tons of coal. That's one hydrogen plant. And they said they had something like 79 or 80-something hydrogen plants in the U.S. So 200 times, say, 80. What's that? 160 million tons of coal. And where are they digging this coal out? Like Well, she says Montana, Wyoming. And when you dig this, that's just this particular spot. I'm not talking about Russia, China, or wherever they have hydrogen plants. They're digging out 200 million tons all over the world. And where does this coal come from? Down in the inside of the earth. So when you take this coal out of the earth, how do you replace that hole they're taking out? You can't replace coal because coal burns up into vapor, taking a solid form. So in other words, the earth is like they're taking the yolk out of an egg. So the earth, they're taking the yolk out of this big egg we live on. So how long is all that supposed to last? You see, the destruction, what they're doing, is unbelievable. And that's why, you know, just like what Toshi was saying, they're over there in Wyoming, Montana. You go on Highway 20 in Nebraska, head towards Casper, and watch the trains traveling down that railroad tracks right by Highway 20. Them trains are so long, you don't see the front or the back, and they're filled with coal. And they said a lot of this coal they ship to different states, like even New York and all that. And a lot of that coal even has radioactive in it, because where they get this coal, in some of these places, like up there in Slim Buttes by North Dakota and South Dakota border, they have coal mixed with, uranium. So that coal they're shipping to these coasts has uranium mixed in with them, you know. And people complain about it, but nobody listens. They say, oh, that's just gossip. Well, it ain't gossip. It's a fact, you know. So people need to look into the destruction that's happening here in our lands, in our people. By who? The invasive species is the one who does all this stuff. They're the one doing all this stuff. You know, we can call them like Toshi call them white, I call them pink, or we can call them whatever color we want. But they all came from across that ocean. And now they're in this country using up all our resources. Think about it. Every orange you eat, that comes from our land. That belongs to us. It don't belong to them, but they're selling it back to us. Every apple, every watermelons, vegetables, fruits that we eat, they're selling it to us. But it comes off our land. It belongs to us. You know? 300 years ago, we just ate for free because all this stuff was ours. But what are we, you know, where we at? Point is our people, you know, don't wake up to this. Instead, we help them out. When you raise that flag every morning at the tribal office, you're helping them out. When you salute that flag, there's a picture of an Indian with a wapaha on, saluting that American flag. He's helping them out. As long as we help them out, it's just like we're helping them out with their privilege, with their white privilege. That's where they get their privilege from, because we help them out. It's a shame that they do this to us, you know? And just like Toshi was saying, they're taking all our resources, like coal and stuff, in Montana, Wyoming. They're taking it out of the ground. But you look at the science of it, how are they replacing that? In other words, there's big hole going into the earth, holes. They're taking oil out, holes. What happens if one day the earth just caves in the middle? Well, that's just hearsay, right? Or that's just hopeful or wishful thinking. Well, I ain't wishful thinking that, you know, but that's how it is. So anyway, any of you want to comment on some of this stuff we were talking about, you know? And I know that there's some other issues out there. You know, there's talking about, Philip was talking about, or he wasn't talking about, he sent me a link about, they have a new leader in some Indian deal over there in Ohio, because the Indian that was there has some sexual accusations on him. And I was looking at the picture of that Indian. He looks like the kind of guy that if he had sexual allegations, it'd be against a man, not a woman, you know? But these kind of groups.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, these kind of groups, how do they help the Native Americans? Like you're calling them Native Americans, because they call themselves Native Americans. They don't call themselves anything else. They call themselves Native Americans. And they identify being called Native American. But they don't call the Washichu Europe invasive species. They approve of calling the Washichu American. That's condoning what they do, because there is no America. There is no American. But when you tell people, yeah, he's American, then you're helping them with that made-up story. You're going along with their lie. There ain't a lot of us on this earth, in this country, because they wiped out something like 200 million of our people when they came. Some people say 10 million. No, they wiped out a good 200, 300 million natives in this. That ain't counting Mexico, Canada, just in what they call the U.S. They wiped out a good 200-300 million Indians, natives, indigenous people, tribes in this country. And those 300 million Indians all lived in peace before they came. We had plenty of buffalo. There's photographs to prove it. When the white man first invented the camera, he took pictures of these millions of buffalo running. So we had food. We had corn. We had vegetables. We had melons. We had coconuts. We had every kind of fruit you can think of before they came. We weren't starving at all. You can listen to their baloney all you want. Oh, you guys were savages before we came. You were killing each other. No, hell no, we weren't. We were Tahunshis. We were relatives. We were, you know, cousins. We were brothers. You know, some of the tribes were grandchildren tribes, you know, they were grandchildren that went out and made their own, you know. Go ahead.
Hey, I want to talk a little bit about what you were talking about, digging out the coal. A number of years ago here in Ohio, this happened in southern Ohio. Now, there's a lot of coal mines here. There were. Actually, they have one spot that they call Ohio Power, which is reclaimed coal. It was coal pits. and they had filled them back up with water, and it's all public hunting and fishing lands now because they got all the coal out. But there were farmers in southern and central Ohio that were complaining, especially this one guy, his whole barn collapsed. The mine that was under the property, and he never even knew there was a mine that had gone under the property. Because when you buy property here, you don't buy the mineral right. Actually, anywhere in the country, you don't get the mineral rights to the land. You only get the surface of the land. So this guy's horse stable actually collapsed in on itself because the mine underneath the horse stable had actually collapsed. And there was a gentleman who had a farm not far from him where this, what they call sentry trees, around by the Wayne National Forest. Those are trees that are virgin trees. They've been growing since before Europeans landed. So these are, you know, really extremely old trees. He said the tree was there one morning. The next morning, it was gone. It had fallen right into the hole when the mine collapsed. So it is a dangerous situation. Anybody could be out, you know, hunting or fishing or, you know, whatever, out in the woods or, you know, even in their own home, and all of a sudden the house collapsed on them. So, yeah, you're right. It is an issue because you can't – what are you going to do? Pull dirt from somewhere else and fill the mine up? They don't do that. And then they act like they're not responsible for, well, we're not responsible for the mine collapse and the loss of your horse stable because that was above ground. And, you know, we didn't foresee this happening. And they had a whole article right up about this back in – oh, God, when was that? If I'm not mistaken, that was back in 2006 when this happened. Now, to talk about that article that I sent you, I warned people about that dude. There was just something not right about him. I've warned people about that coalition. That coalition got its legitimacy off the backs of AIM Indiana, Kentucky, and the American Indian Movement of Ohio. We're supposed to be part of that coalition. Yet since their inception, we have never been told when there are meetings. Now, how can you have a coalition of organizations when they're not telling you anything? And I know you said something about them saying, well, Native Americans, they call themselves Native Americans. We're talking about academia here. Every single one of them that are involved are professors or teachers in colleges and, you know, community colleges. And the reason why we won't have anything to do with them anymore, especially after, you know, they got Columbus Day changed to Indigenous Peoples Day down there in Columbus. And, of course, they were mentioned, but they never mentioned the name American Indian Movement of Ohio or American Indian Movement of Indiana, Kentucky. Our names were completely kept out of it. Our organizations. But the thing about them is this. Yeah, they want to do this and they want to do that. They're raising funds. They're raising money. They're raising a lot of money. Okay? And one woman that's in charge of, well, that's part of it, was wanting to have a garden, a Native American garden down around Dayton. Well, she went and wrote a grant, from what I understand, or accepted money from Procter & Gamble, from P&G, so that they could go ahead and start planting this garden. Now, they have already demonstrated against P&G because of the environmental crap that they pull. They are the largest clear cutters of the boreal rainforest. to make Charmin toilet paper. And this woman goes and accepts money from them. See, this is what I'm talking about. There's a lot of hypocrisy going on. And it's not just with you know, it infiltrates every organization just about. Infiltrates every organization. Well, we want to do this, but we need the money to do this. So, okay, well, then we'll forsake our integrity for what do you guys call it? Mazeska. We'll forsake our integrity. Me personally, I would have told them to pound salt. I wouldn't even ask them for money. You don't ask somebody that's destroying the rainforest for money so you can have a Native American garden. It's ridiculous. And they don't see it. They don't see it. Because they're all getting paid to do what they do. They're board members. They're structured. Their 501c3 is structured so that they can make money. Okay?
Hey, you know, let's get back to the beginning of this, though. You see, the city Indian, and there's a lot of them, you know, is they step over the whole entire issue. Okay, one example is, yeah, this group changed Columbus Day to Indigenous Day. Okay, so city people think that's a great thing. That's a fabulous thing. But to us, they're skipping over the whole entire damn issue of who runs this country, who took over our land. We don't care about Columbus Day and all that. They they made treaties with our people, and our people don't even comply with the treaties. So why the hell should we think this made-up group, calling South Native Americans, did something great by changing a day to Indigenous Day? No, these people need to get up off their ass and jump in with the traditional people in this country, which there ain't a lot left, and help out preserving and maintaining our cultures, our languages, our spirituality, and everything else, but they don't. Like you said, here's a guy wearing a fancy cowboy hat with a fancy earring, looking like he messes with men, running a indigenous group, you know, and because he's educated. These people, because they're educated, they got more clout than Tanshi Vimber are a lot of people that are cold dog who never been to school. But just because you got American education, they let them, oh, now he's running the Indian community. He's in charge of this. Yeah, I don't think twice about ignoring them. I ignore these people. I ignore those groups. You know, they have nothing to offer except showing off. Like you said, raising money from Procter & Gamble and always hustling money. They'll get money from Coors, any place. You know, they don't care. That's what they're about. That's how they function. That's how those city Indians live. That's how they get status, by raising money and having some education and calling themselves a leader of the indigenous people when they're not. When they're not even speaking the language. When they're not even singing. When they're not even showing our kids how to preserve, you know, preserve our culture. How do they do that? You know,
well,
when
this
you got
guy,
people like Vimber. Yeah, but you got people like Vimber and Crow Dog and a bunch of spiritual leaders that are way more valuable, but those city Indians rather look up to some guy running around selling his ass than even look and are even acknowledge someone like Bimber or you know, or other people, you know, that deserve it. So that's why when you showed me that deal, I looked at it and I said, well, what another fake group that came out of AIM, you know? They're just a fake group. They mean nothing to me. And it don't matter who runs that group, Philip. It don't matter who runs that group. Even if someone shows up and calls himself Sitting Bull, I wouldn't give a crap. Because that group means nothing to me. And none of these other groups in this country mean nothing to me because they're not real genuine indigenous teachers of culture. All they are is turned into a political group, you know, a change in the name of Columbus to Indigenous Day. That's a political move there. That's an American political move. I don't care. You know, that's like when they said Father Sierra is no saint. Remember that? City Indians started that crap. I don't care who a saint is. It don't matter to me who a saint is. It don't matter if it's Father Sierra or who. I don't care who a saint is because it's not my culture. But you see, that's what happens with these groups, these city Indians. They come out and they want to be some kind of leader. First of all, I'm Indian. Yeah, I'm three-quarters Cherokee, you know. And they come out starting this baloney. And they overstep the entire goal of the indigenous people. We need to get our indigenous rights back right the way they're supposed to be. We need the American to acknowledge us as we are. Not because he gives Deb Haaland a spot in Congress, not because he gives some other Indian a spot in the money department. I forget what the treasury, you know, not for that.
Yeah.
That ain't a step in the. That ain't no step for us. That's a step for Deb Haaland, but it ain't no step for us. You know, we need. It's like I was telling Wayne. And telling somebody else. We need our people to relearn our way of life. Tanshi's always saying, you know, you need to learn your language, you know. And those of us that ain't all the way there, we need to put ourselves there. You know, you want to help the Indian, you want to help the people, learn your language. Learn your culture. Don't read it in a damn book. Don't learn it from Google. Go hunt it down. Go find your family. Hunt it down. Spend your money to do that if you're going to spend money. You know?
Go be a part of your people.
Yeah.
It goes a little bit deeper with this guy, too. This guy is associated with that fake Sundance chief, Steve McCullough. Now, Steve McCullough was run out of Indiana, and he came here to Ohio, started doing fake Sundances here in Ohio, charging money. And then he was run out of Ohio because it came out that they were actually trafficking women and drugs. So this guy's associated with him. This guy's daughter is also married to Steve McCullough's right-hand man and has grandchildren by these people. And on top of that, one of the other members of that little group has now become the executive director of this True People of Indiana, Kentucky AIM chapter. His name is Che Jim. He's also involved. Matter of fact, that Che Jim claims to be a chief, and he just appeared in a movie with Irene Bedard.
So that makes it more Indian, huh?
Yeah. So now they have people that are associated with this fake Sundance chief that was trafficking women that were probably actually involved in it too, involved in an AIM chapter. So
and Irene Bedard running with Washichu turned into a big alcoholic and was busted and shamed out our people. You know, you see, our people need to know who our leaders really are. If I was gonna listen to anybody, I'm gonna listen to Tehachapi Bimber more than I'm gonna listen to somebody with a big college education. Because if Bimber's gonna tell you something about our history, he's gonna tell you the truth, the facts about it. If that guy talks about our history, he's gonna be telling you something he read on Google or read in a book. You know, what I learned about my people didn't come from no book. Came from my grandma, my uncles, and other people like that. Medicine man. I mean, even Crow Dog, you know, I mean, they even know whose pipes had power and whose pipes didn't have power. You know, Crow Dog even knew the powerful pipes held by people in Lakota Nation, you know, and medicine men know this stuff. Fools crow all these people. But what does that guy with the cowboy hat, what the hell got a dude wearing a cowboy hat for any damn way? That cracks me up when I see Lakotas with cowboy hats on. Because cowboys, that ain't our style. Tehachapi, where's this cowboy hat? Why are Indians wearing cowboy hats?
Probably came back from
Dakota, too.
Wait. I'm asking Rimber. Where's cowboy hats come from?
It came from way back in the day when these Indians were killing these cavalry guys, and they'd get the hat. Remember those ones that flat brim? They kind of flatten the front?
That's where
it started from. That's where it started
from. Yeah, but it
ain't
the cowboy, that way now. They were doing it now because they think they're cowboys. They're calling themselves Indian cowboys. They're calling themselves, you go to Navajo Nation, they're calling themselves Indian cowboys. So that ain't why they're doing it. They're doing it because they want to be a damn cowboy.
Yeah. But like I say, you know, I don't know where the hell it started from, that Indian cowboy stuff. You know, that's, to me, it's something that's made up, and it's getting worse and worse now, you know. It's a Washichu thing. Cowboy hat is a Washichu thing. Think about that. You know, that's,
I see these medicine men wearing a cowboy hat. I said, damn, man. You know, running around wearing cowboy hats and cowboy boots, you know, and dressing in cowboy shirts and cowboy belts. I mean, you know, there's so much hypocrisy going on, like Philip was talking, you know, that's why we're going away from everything, you know, because these guys wearing these cowboy hats, they acknowledge the cowboy more than they do the Indian. That's why they're letting cowboys come into Sundances and be security, and let cowboys come in and be Eapaha and all that, you know?
You know,
when we used to have Lopez doing this.
You know, Tehachapi, look at it this way, too. Look at Orville and his brother. You know, at that Indian conference up in Rapid City a little bit ago, I guess they got it on. They got into it. One dressed as a cowboy, and one sitting there with braids on, you know? And, you know, think about that. You know, this is what we've come to now, see? The respect of these Indians doesn't exist. If Muzzah Sky is there, then they're real respectable. See, anymore,
Tashi.
All these people are all about Mother Ska. You know, it's shit. It's crazy how it's turning. You know,
Tashi,
Mother Ska.
I see
Dakota's crazy.
I see some of our people. We will slap a hat on to get out of the rain. We'll slap a hat on to get out of the snow. We'll slap a hat on for some kind of protection. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When we start wearing a hat because it's a style, a Washichu style, then I think something's really wicked there. When these medicine men, some of them are starting to wear nice, bright, white cowboy hats, white ones, you know, like Hopalong Cassidy and John Wayne and shit, you know? And you know, there's something wrong there. They turned me off bad. I don't care how much of a Lakota speaker, but I also know this, Tashi. They don't have the spirits coming to their ceremonies anymore either.
Yeah.
Because I've been.
Yeah.
I used to go to ceremonies, and spirits used to come in. And now you go to ceremonies, they hardly ever come in. Why? Because these guys are giving up their culture, tradition, and spirituality to wear a damn cowboy hat, to catch a cowboy girl, to look cowboy. You
know? Cowboy girl, huh? Cowboy girl?
Yeah.
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 That's a good one. I got to remember that one. Catch a cowboy girl. There you go. I know what you're saying, because it's like I say, the cowboy. I don't know where the hell that came from. You know, that's like I said. I know those old people used to take the cavalry's hats and, you know, slap them on, and you know, it's kind of like a trophy back in the day.
Yeah.
But now you have all these guys that are doing this. I mean, I see a lot of Indians doing that.
Tashi, if one of our people walk up to a American general and slap his hat on and wear it around, I'll be proud of him. They ain't doing that. They're buying these hats in the store. They're not taking them off. If somebody grabbed Trump's wig off his head and slapped it on, I'd be proud of him. I'll wear that sucker, you know?
Hell yeah.
But they're buying them in the store. They're not getting them the way they got them back then. There was a Lakota had a Spaniard, one of those metal Spaniards. That was cooler than hell, you know?
Remember that movie, what is it that, about that sister, The Flying Nun? You know, that's kind of who they they kind of look like, The Flying Nun. You know, but, you know, it's just a fad that these guys get into. It's I don't know where in the hell these guys... Lakotas think that being a cowboy is hot shit, you know, and you know, it's not even that way. They, you know, 3/4 of those guys have never ridden a horse, have never ridden a bull, have never ridden anything, you know, but yet, I should say majority of them, and yet they call themselves cowboys, or they dress like them, you know. It's like these guys wearing suits. It makes them look like... Herman the Munster, you know?
Yeah,
but
Herman
they do it,
Munster.
You know? But they do it. See, that's the same damn thing with these guys. You know, they're copying the Washichu instead of copying our Tunkashilas, who are playing exchange chash. A lot of these, if you look at a lot of these guys too, Tunkashi, they cut their hair, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and they claim this. See, I'm Native American. You know, it's like I was telling you before, a lot of these people claiming Native American, the simple DNA test will tell them who they are, you know, and a lot, you could probably prove those guys wrong, you know.
Yeah.
But some of them say, my great, 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 great grandmother was a princess. Shit, you know, they're bullshitting you, you know, and that's how it is. And these cowboys, Indians are... Cowboy girls, I guess, you know, a better way of putting it, you know, it's kind of a, I don't know where the hell that came from, but.
I would tell anybody listening to this show right now, if they ever ran across Bimber, you will see a real Cherry Chasha man. You know? He ain't going to show up with some big white cowboy hat. He ain't going to show up with all kinds of turquoise all over him. He's just going to come with what Wakantanka has him on, has on him right now, you know? If it's a pair of pants somebody gave you or whatever, you know? That's how I am. I mean, you know, I don't have any fancy clothes. I haven't worn a hat. Well, right now I got this Russian hat I've been wearing in the snow, you know, in the snow. I wear that. But I don't wear that to style down the road because I think I look cool, you know? I don't wear no hats in public. No hats whatsoever. You know? If I was going to wear anything, you know, and I wear my feathers at Sundance, you know, Indians are starting to copy styles of the white man, the European, you know, and they look stupid doing it. I guess when they look in the mirror, they don't see the same thing I see when I see them. What is that? They lost their eyesight or what?
You know, that goes back to what we were talking about these kids too. See, they see that shit and then they try to mimic it. You know, they have this colored hair and they have these shoes on at different sides, different colors. All this, you know, they think it's cool. Shit, they look like a bunch of clowns, you know? But yet that's who they want to be, you know, and they think it's cool. It's not. Apparently they've never looked in a mirror. And apparently they've never seen their tukachiras. You know. If we were exchange Sasha back in the day, we still are. I am anyway. You know.
Well, and me too. You know, I mean, like I had a rock band and I play, you know, I did rock gigs. But even when I went on stage to perform, I still had the same clothes I wear anyplace else. You know?
Yeah. Yep.
I didn't, you know, dress up all fancy because I'm going out to do a rock show, start spiking my hair up. You know? I mean, I'm me. No matter where I'm at, I'm as me. You know?
Yeah.
Even Layla knows that, you know, she did gigs with us, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, just because I walk on a stage, I don't change my style. You know, I don't say, oh, I'm going on stage, so I'm going to wear these leopard skins tonight, and I'm going to wear this pink bandana, you know, and I'm going to paint my eyebrows, you know, and I'm going to dye my hair. Because that ain't what music is about. Music's about throwing down, playing them chords, jamming out. You know, it ain't about what I got on my head, you know. But I seen an Indian band. Even one of my band members, this guy, the minute I started letting them play in the band and teaching them bass, he changed. He wanted to look like Robert Plant. He wanted to look, he started wearing bitch boots and tight pants and started changing his whole style, you know?
God damn.
But the thing about the real band, you know, my band was called Aerospace. You look at Jimmy John Wilson, he played lead guitar. Man, we used to go on stage, he'd have greasy elbows from working on cars. You know, greasy pants still, you know? And Donnie always looked the same, you know? And Daryl Fast Horse had long hair. He looked like a real genuine Indian. These guys weren't out there to trying to look like punk rockers or nothing. These guys went out there and played music. They were badass musicians, even with greasy elbows and shit, you know?
They wanted to jam. They loved jamming.
Yeah, oil under the fingernails, Jimmy John, you know? Jamming out these guys, you know? That's what we were about. We weren't about running out there trying to meet the style. And we go do gigs with other bands, showed up, Those other bands would come out looking all pretty, but they just sounded like shit.
Yeah.
You know? I always said our band, we were the inventors of res rock, and nobody could dispute that, you know? You know? And that's how we were. Even just like Toshi, we rode motorcycles, right? Harleys? Did we try to look like a white boy?
Hell no.
Hell no. We
you
just
can't.
Was having
you
to
can't,
say,
you can't.
Shit.
You can't be a white
shit.
Boy.
I was, yeah. Even people see me, they used to laugh because sometimes I'd have flip-flops on, bombing down with my Harley, you know? You know? You know? You know,
you know,
and yeah, you wear a bandana to keep your hair down. You know, that winter's tough. But I wasn't wearing no Nazi helmet or wearing kind of trying to look like a biker, you know. I wasn't wearing leather and big fancy, big chains hanging off of me. And I didn't change my style and go in there and start tattooing spider webs on my elbows and stuff. But I seen guys do this.
Yeah,
I seen guys,
you know,
the minute they started riding a Harley, they wanted all these tattoos. Shit, I was putting tattoos on people. I don't care,
Me, myself, I just enjoyed riding. That was it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Getting out, just going, you know?
And then plus, you worked on them, too. You were, you know, a mechanic.
Yep.
You know, you weren't no screw around a biker, you know, you worked on them bikes, you know, and the bikes back in them days, like my bikes, they had points and all that. Remember, I used to have to haul a pair of points around with me and stuff. You know, but, you know,
good old days.
Yeah,
hey,
and but,
it, didn't,
but
it was fun back in the day, you know, just being who you were. You know, nowadays you got all these people that want to be something. You know, they want to be this big chingon, big chief. You know, why? You know, if you were to ever ask, Sitting Bull, how does it feel to be a leader? He'd tell you it's hard. And any chief will tell you how hard it is.
I seen these Indian bikers riding, and they had American flags on the back of their seat.
Yep, I've seen
you
that too.
They're trying to, and wearing big sunglasses, wearing, you know, trying to look as much biker as they can. And you can tell they weren't raised that way because when they turn a curve, you see them wobbling. You can see they just learned how to ride a bike like in 2 or 3 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
You know? They you know, and... That shit, we was riding bikes, shit, how far back, Toshi? I mean, I tell you how long I had a bike. I had a 1947 knucklehead. That's how far back I was riding bikes, you know?
Shit, yeah. You know, it's
and pan heads and shovel heads, you know?
Yeah, you get to love this stuff after you. You know, you ride them, you work on them, you break down, you get up, you get back on, get going. It's, you know, it's something that gets in you, you know? And that was just life. You know,
and
nowadays,
never,
you got all these, you guys, all you have all these guys that ride these plastic bikes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I remember your bike, and my bike was a chopper, remember? That was a chopper.
Yeah. Yep.
Mine was raked out, apes, you know, that sucker was a hardtail Springer front end, you know, and shit, that sucker had a cam in that sucker, you know, and had to kickstart it, and if you didn't do it right, it'd bend your leg backwards. I seen people doing flips on trying to start my bike, you know.
If you didn't do it, I'd throw you over the bike.
Yeah, there was a right. You had to get the right the ingredient. You got to try to pump it like twice or three times. You get the right fuel and then whoom, and then it starts. If you did it at the wrong time, I'll flip your ass, man. And I seen guys with their bend their legs backwards like flamingo.
Hell yeah.
You know?
Hell yeah.
You know?
You know?
And
they throw you over the bike, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what we were doing
back in the day. I remember your bike. Darcy, when you bomb your bike.
You know, look at how things change, Tashi. Look at nowadays, like we talked about. All these guys wanting to be hasapas and wanting to be whatever the hell, you know, changing their hair and their clothes, all this. I mean, God damn, you know, that's why I say, what is this world coming to? You know, pretty soon there's going to be no Lakota. There's going to be no Indian. You know, look what, like you was talking about. The culture, the language, the history. A lot of these people worry about the money. They don't worry about their history. They don't worry about their culture. They don't worry about their people. They don't look at their people and what their people went through and how they went through it for us to be here. And to see those guys doing this, man, it's shameful as hell. You know, it shames me because why are you trying to be Washitu when they're the ones that put you in this predicament? They're the ones that created the problem for you, you know? And yet you want to be them? Shit. You know? Me, myself, I ain't going to forget what they did in Wounded Knee, Sand Creek Massacre.
No.
You know, none of those places, you know?
I don't care about 9/11. You know, they cry about 9/11, but look what they did to us. Look what they did to our people. Do they care about it? Hell no, they don't care about it. You know, when we talk about Wounded Knee, they say, oh, that happened a long time ago, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, they gave him Medal of Honors, too. You know, they gave him 20 Medal of Honors for that act of murder over there at Wounded Knee back in 1890, and they still won't rescind those Medal of Honors.
Well, I don't care. They can keep those medals. Those medals don't mean shit to me, you know?
I don't care about those
medals. They can have those medals, but the point is, that's what they did to us, and our people should know it. It's not about the medals they're wearing. It's about the murder they committed to our people.
Another thing is, look at how they're honoring all these so-called code talkers. Those were the guys that won the war, World War II. And yet they came back and look at how they're treating those people's, you know, their relatives, you know?
Yeah.
And how about the people?
My uncle Ivor Kreugel was Lakota code talker in Germany.
Yeah.
You know, in Germany. They had Lakota code talkers too, not just Navajo. They had Lakota code talkers. And he died poor like the rest of us.
Yeah, Lakotas were the first code talkers. It wasn't just the Navajo, you know? And they lived up to their commitment. They did. They won that war. And the white man, look at how they treat us to this day.
They
talk about America.
They made fun of us talking our language. At the same time, the code talkers were saving their ass in Germany. The Catholics are beating our people up for talking Lakota. At the same time, they're over there, 1940, whatever, talking Lakota, saving the Washitu's ass. But over on this side, they're beating up our people for talking Lakota. That's how two-faced they are, you know? And look at Navajo. They sure brag about their code talkers. And you go into Window Rock, they have a picture of a military guy there, statue, you know? And why should they do that? They don't even have water in their whole res. They have, the Navajo is a beat-up reservation, but the government just lets them like that. Oh, we already stole their souls, so we don't need to give them no more. We have their soul, you know. That's all they want is their soul, you know. We have their soul, so we don't need to give them water or nothing else, you know. And, you know, that's how they are. Once they get your soul, they ain't going to give you nothing else no more. You know? And the same way with the black man, the Spiola, all of them. They think they're going to join in that cult, that American cult. They're going to get something out of it. Well, you know, by the time it gets that far, someone else from another country is going to come over and take this country from them, you know.
Yep.
Those Hasafas, those Spiolas, and I call them Spiolas because they should be indigenous like us, but they're Spiolas because they gave up their indigenous culture to be Americans, you know. But them Spiolas, them Hasafa, they should be with us preserving their own culture, African culture, their own Azteca Mayan culture instead of American culture, you know. You know, it's a shame. They just killed a Mexican sheriff down there in Riverside. A white boy killed him.
Yeah.
And all his family are talking about how great of an American he is, you know. So this Spiola sheriff, he died American. And there is no such thing as America or American. When I die, I'm Lakota. When Tashi dies, he's Lakota. How do you want to be? What do you want to be when you die? American? There's no such thing. I mean, if I was a white boy, I'd want to be dying the German or Norwegian or but American. Because there's no such thing as American. It's like Casper the Ghost, like Donald Duck. It was all made up. It's made up. Why does somebody want to die American when it's like you're dying Donald Duck? You know, you're dying Donald Duck. You know, you're dying Casper the Ghost.
Look at all these. Look at all these Washitas getting their panties in a bunch because of Joe Biden getting that grinder out of Russia. You know, look at the shit they're talking about her now, you know. Oh, they should have left her over there. Oh, they should have got this white guy, this white boy out, this Marine, all this other bullshit. You know? I mean, no, you know, come on, shit. You know, they both committed crimes over there, you know. And one guy's a spy. You know, and this one here was a dope head or, you know, pothead. And which one's worse, a spy or a pothead, you know? They don't look at things
and
like
once
that.
Once again, Toshi, if that was me or you went into Russia with some hash, do you think the government would give a crap? We'd still be sitting
Hell no.
The only difference, we wouldn't be crying about it. We'd be walking the yard over there. You know,
hell yeah. we'll be hustling, trying to make a living over there.
We'll be sitting over there singing Lakota songs. We'll be sitting there singing Lakota songs. They won't be singing, having rap and all that. They'll be sitting in the corner singing Lakota songs. You know,
trying to get them to get into a sweat line.
Yeah, that's how we work. You know. That's how it is. That's the, like they say, that's how we roll, you know?
Yeah.
We're not going to be over there crying around. Like I said, we'll be over there sitting in the corner singing Lakota songs, you know? You know, that's how we roll. We ain't going to be over there crying to the government. Now we're American. Suddenly we became American, so we want them to come save us, you know? I never did ask the American for crap. Got from them is because they gave it to me without me even knowing it, without me asking
That's what it is, you know. And they act like we owe them something, clear to this day, you know. Oh, you owe us this. Yeah, bullshit. You know, you look at it, we don't owe them shit. They owe us, you know. But yet, you're an American. I'm not an American, man, you know. I'm a Lakota, and a lot of our own people look at themselves as American. They don't look at themselves as Lakota. Shameful as hell. You know, but yet there's a number of guys with their hands out when money comes around.
Leonard Peltier is sitting right here in their prison. There ain't no American trying to help him get out. Right here. Where they ain't even, he don't even need a plane ticket. Just let him out the damn door. He don't need a private jet. Just open that door and let him out. But they won't do it. But one of them, like I said, if that was me and you got busted in Russia, shit, you'd be sitting over there, Tanashi. I know you'd be sitting over there in the corner or sitting there strutting the yard, you know.
Hell yeah.
Singing Lakota songs and, you know.
Like I said, trying to get a sweat lodge going. You know,
you'd forget all about everything and start working on your life right there. That's how we do it. You know, wherever we're going to work on our life, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we take our culture with us. Those guys don't have a culture to take with them. So they're screwed. You know, we take our culture with us wherever we go. You know, when I travel, I traveled with my guitar, my chanchega, chanupa, you know, and that's how I did it, you know. And and the guitar was just to make the money. But my life, you know, I like to sing songs and you know, I like to, if I have a sweat lodge, like to have sweat lodge. What the hell do they have? You know, what the hell do they got?
You know, Brittany Griner couldn't go up Kaji in there. You know, the other guy can't, you know, spy on anybody in there. He's in prison. So I don't know, man, you know. Like I say, you say, Leonard Peltier, you know, sitting in prison all for over a pair of boots that didn't even exist. You know, here in America.
All these Americans
seem to forget that. That's why I say, where's Deb Haaland? Where's all these so-called people in higher-up offices? What kind of call do they have? How come they ain't trying to get them up?
Why don't they go up and grab Biden by the collar and take him down to Coleman Prison and say, open this damn gate?
Hell yeah.
There you go.
Like Reagan did in Berlin. He said, Gorbachev, take down this wall, you know?
Yeah.
Why don't they do that? You know, Biden, open that gate, let Leonard out.
Yeah.
You know, why don't they do that? You know, but they won't. Because American. He's not American.
He ran
with Lakota.
Yeah, that's what makes it even worse.
Yep, but you know they don't see that, and they ain't gonna see that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you know, I say, Biden could, with the stroke of the pen, could let him loose, but yeah, and this Haaland or whatever could get him to do it. They ain't gonna do that. They're too much American.
No.
You know, that's the thing with these people nowadays. They don't fight for the right reasons anymore. Look at all these guys hustling, using what is it, 3M or whatever the hell it is, you know, getting all kinds of funding from them, so then, you know, defending it, you know. That's how far we've come, you know. We're turning the red white men now. And you have people, all these imposters coming in, and like that guy that brought all those clothes on her, he wanted all the glory. After they donated shit to him to bring, he was supposed to bring it. He acted like he owned it when he bought it and gave it to these Indians. You know, shit like that. I don't go for that, Sanchi. That's total BS. You know.
Christians come donate stuff on the rest, and they act like they're. I say, you know what? All they're doing is we gave them a loaf of bread. They gave us two slices of bread back. And call it a donation when they're living off the loaf we gave them, you know? That's how it is. You know, we gave them the money, and they give us a dollar back, and they say they're donating. They don't look at it as repaying what they took from us. You know, these Christians got land on the res and got white houses and nice properties on the res because Indians let them have it, you know. And then so these Christians, in the summertime, they whip out a barbecue and give some hot dogs and call it donating, you know. They cook some hot dogs for the kids. Yeah, you know. And all them Christians are so nice. Look what they're doing. Look at them. They're giving us this and that, you know. You know.
Yeah.
It drives me up the wall sometimes when I look and see what goes on. And maybe, Tulsi, do you think maybe we just got too damn old?
I don't know. I don't think so, Tulsi. I think people are just going in the wrong direction. People are forgetting who they are. They want to be American.
Because when we tell a young guy something, right away they get offended, like, what the hell? You know?
Yeah, they get all
bothered. They don't look at the value of our perspective of what's going on. It's like us telling Philip, we don't care about that Indian Center changing the name of Columbus to Indigenous Day. Whoopity-doo. Big deal. But what about them still living in the Black Hills? What about them still living on so-called treaty land? What about them still living in New York on Lenape land? What about, you know, what about all this stuff? What, these Indians just happy to have a name change? You know, and then still wear a cowboy hat when they're doing it. How with them?
Yeah.
I don't give a crap about their organization, their Native American cause. I don't support their ass because they're not supporting us, are they?
No.
Is that group supporting us? No,
they're
not supporting us.
When somebody starts returning the land and starts recognizing us as who we are, the landlords, and starts treating us right and apologizes for real, then maybe I'll have a change of attitude. Till then, they could all F off, Tulsi. You know, that's my take on this whole damn thing.
I want to hear your opinion on this one because of something Wayne brought up. He said, why are the leaders acting like Dickie Wilson? So I told Wayne,
I said,
because they are Dickie Wilson. All of them are Dickie Wilson.
Yep.
All of them are Trump. They're all the same.
Yep.
It's not just one of them. They're all Dickie Wilson.
That yeah, that's they all, you know, they thought they got rid of Dick Wilson. No, the only way you get rid of Dick Wilson is if you get rid of that whole system and stand up as who we are, as a nation. See? That until then, you know, you're going to have people like Dick Wilson all the time. Every one of those guys behind Dick Wilson. Same damn thing.
Perverse with cowboy hats and turquoise. Having sexual issues, you know.
trying to kill an elephant for aphrodisiac. You know that. You know that shit don't lie. You know what I mean? You know, that's sicker than hell.
And how many kids do we have, Tulsi? Just between me and you, we got a tribe, two tribes.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And did we ever use Viagra or our rhino horn?
Hell, we don't need it. You know?
Just Taniga.
We don't need it. You know, the Indian Viagra, Taniga. You know?
It's a Taniga. It's a Taniga and drop 10 Lakota kids, you know.
There you go,
grandkids. And now working on the great-grandkids, you know, without all that crap, you know.
And here they are, these Washizus, trying to have 2.5 kids, you know, whatever the hell that means, you know.
2.5 kids.
Yeah, that's I don't get that. I don't know what the hell they're talking about, you know. Shit, me a kid's a kid, you know what I mean?
They're talking about the IVF, the in vitro fertilization. You know, the test tube babies.
What the hell is 2.5 kids? To live a happy life, they want 2.5 kids, a car, a house, you know, all this bullshit.
Did you catch that, Tahashi? A test tube baby. You know, we try not to have them, but we keep whooping them out. You know, here I am, 73, and got an 8-year-old baby.
I want to look at these girls, but it's hard to look at them because shit, they get knocked the minute you look at them. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
in trouble for looking, bro. Yeah, all we got to do is look, and we're in trouble. You know?
Yeah.
You know?
There's a kid on the way. You know?
Yeah.
But that's
shit. Yeah.
You know.
But anyway, you know, talking about tonight, you know, already since we've been talking, Wayne and Philip went into, they're already in 2023.
Yep.
As far as the Washita's concerned, that 2023 since the 8 made a Washita, you know. And
yep.
Give them their birthday rights. Happy birthday, Washita. 2023 years since the 8 made you, you know. And,
you know.
And, since you're the one said that, we didn't make it. Yeah, we ain't the one said that. We ain't the one made that up. You guys said that, you know. So happy birthday. Happy 8-day birthday, you know.
2023 years ago, the grandma laid with the ape. There you are. You know,
Whoa. We're going to get... Oh, we're hurting some. We're pressing buttons now,
We've been here longer than that, so we ain't worried about it.
Yeah, well, we've been here for billions of years. We never were made. We've been in existence.
Yeah.
Wakantaka put us, you know, and mankind, whether anybody believes it or not, mankind wasn't just a new thing. Mankind, all the original, you know, except for the Washita, they came out of ape, but the rest of us, one of them was the ape, you know, and then made them. And the rest of us, you know, were human race. You know, that's why we all started out. You look at the beginning of all mankind, they all had a drum. They all had a drum. They all had artwork. These were Wakantaka's gifts. Art, a drum, and a way to pray, Chanupa.
Yep.
You know, and them, they had to wait to invent papers so they could have a Bible. You know? I don't know what happened to them people, but they're the ones said it. They said they came from the ape. I believe them. You know?
Yeah.
Because look how they act. Look how they act. You know, look at their logic they have. Humanity has one logic. Humanity has one logic. And the logic is peace on earth.
Yeah.
And murder is guilt. We can't murder because we got guilt for it. That's humanity. But they don't have guilt. They don't have guilt in getting drunk, partying, using drugs, sex. They're running around showing their ass all day. I was sneaking a peek on Yahoo while I was on here. And here's a lady wearing half a dress. You know, and
what were you looking at, Koji? Give me the site. I want to go in there.
Yahoo. And you... Even J. Lu joined the or J-Lo, J-Lou. Even J-Lou joined, I keep saying it, J-Lou. J-Lo, she's wearing half a nude snapshot to go into 2023, you know?
So, yeah.
You know, when they joined that clique, they take off their clothes and flash some blood, you know?
Yeah.
That's their clique, you know? And I mean, if you want to see my butt, you're going to have to get in the right password to get in there. Or to get into a safe, what do you call that? The code to get into a safe? To look at my butt, you better have the right combination. But
that cracks the code. Crack that code.
Yeah, you gotta crack that code. you ain't seeing this book, you know?
There you go.
That's how they are. They just put it on Yahoo, Google, you know, for free. Yeah, you know, you don't even need to crack a code for them. Just look on Yahoo. There's their butt. You know, put their name down and put bathing suit next to their name, and all of them will come on with a bathing suit. But put my name on Google and put bathing suit and see what you come out with. Nothing.
Yeah.
You know.
Big disappointment.
Put legs next to Vimber's name and see what comes out. Nothing. You know.
Hairy elephant.
Yeah, Harry Allen.
There it is. All kinds of shit are coming up. Yeah.
But put J-Lu's name and put legs, and you're going to see nothing but her legs. Put any one of them. Yeah. She got a new name. She came. Since she J-Lu. Came on this radio show, now she's J-Lu.
Yeah. No more J-Lo. J-Lu.
Yeah, it's J-Lu. So, Tahashi, you got to take over now, Tahashi. You know, I'm really happy that you guys came here, Wayne and Philip and all of you. You know, you guys could have went out there to New York and joined Dick Clark and all of them. Is he still alive? And joined J-Lou and all of them.
I don't even know.
You guys could have been swinging on a clock butt naked tonight, but you chose to be with us, you know. And
there
I love you for that. Okay. You know, you came with us, you know. I'm proud of you, you know.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead, Tosh.
Uh-huh. Well, we'll say a closing prayer and then we'll call it a show. We chose on the Chaglian, but you he let Hukasla, Mitaki, you hope, was on in a one inch to Lot Hukas, Ushinkila, Pohamitakias.
Ah, well, still, Lord. Right now it's the countdown. It's 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yoo-hoo. It's 2023 for the. For the Si Chang Hu.
we're still in 2022. We're still late.
Yeah. We'll catch you guys 6 months from now, you know? You know? But all of you have a great morning, you know, Wayne and Jennifer, Philip, and all of you, thank you for being here. I'm really serious. I'm proud of you that you showed up. And John Davis on the East Coast. And those others that tuned in with us that could have been swinging off a clock butt naked someplace. Celebrating.
Hey,
you know. Swinging on a clock.
We're looking like J-Lu.
Yeah, J-Lu, you know. flashing some giant Lazata, Honzaki.
Yeah, Lazata.
Lazata, giant Lazata on YouTube, you know.
Yeah.
So, Doksha, everybody. Doksha.
I love you guys.
Doksha, okay. Doksha.
Train going in from Fargo, carrying my mother back to me. She died last week outside of Fargo, a victim of her country's apathy. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering. No, no more pain and no more sorrow. Don't you know that you have won? Yeah, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles to go home. And through the never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Yeah, hey, 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 hey. Ooh, 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 ooh. Oh, oh, oh. The never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Though they never let me know you, still, you mean so much to me. Now, I wish that I could show you all the love you're never gonna see. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. Never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free.